Well, it is the day after the election.
Amen.
Praise God. PK and I'm like, I just, no matter what happened, I have Jesus. So, you know, but I was believing what happened. So that was just good. Yeah. God is so good. And we're so privileged to be part of his kids. We're going to go ahead and receive an offering for this evening just to get that done and out of the way. So if you came prepared to give tonight, Scott's going to serve you. And we are tomorrow, as a matter of fact, I'm heading out with one of the maintenance crew or the facility team and buying a smart TV for the conference room and a whiteboard, something else it seems like. And PK's looking for a carpet. And all that. So just that is getting close to completion. And then other things are going to be happening as well. And I'm excited where the Lord is going to take us. And I know, isn't going to church sometimes in this age takes faith, doesn't it? I mean, because there is really no reason that this place shouldn't be full. If you think about it. I mean, unless somebody's working tonight or that kind of stuff. But I mean, you know, really, we should be rallying around the house of God and people should be excited. I'm not, you guys are the great crowd that's here. So, you know, I'm talking to the choir, but God is, we have to understand there are a lot of folks that don't see what you see. I mean, they want to see what you see. And there's some that have legitimate reasons. So please, I'm not speaking to anybody in particular, I'm just speaking. We have to go after God, no matter what we think it looks like. Does that make sense? So we have to seek him. We have to go after him, and he'll reward us. Let's pray over this offering. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to give to your kingdom. We thank you that we have the ability and the authority to change to put it into a new kingdom, yours, where you have dominion and legality, and we give you praise for it, and we ask that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll let Scott go ahead and start serving. If anybody has anything, and if you decide later, yeah, I want to do that, then hit Scott up at the end of service. Because I don't know how this will end as far as both my hands are tingling. And usually that means he wants me to pray for somebody. And so we're going to, well, we'll be doing that. And I'll do that here in just a couple minutes. So that's going to be a good thing. Because I want to preface what we're going to talk about tonight before we pray. So I want to get that inside us. Does that make sense? And so I don't want to, even though that's my brother-in-law and I would pray for him any day of the week, any time of the week, but I want to get something inside us. And I want to talk tonight, just for a few minutes, it's not going to take long, about our responsibility as a carrier of the light and what we are to do with what we have and how we serve and with the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? Mark 11:23, and you hear me say this all the time, it says you can say to this mountain, may be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it'll happen. You must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. We talk about that. We believe that. It says, if you believe, you can speak to the mountain. We say, don't tell God about your mountain. Tell your mountain about your God. That is exactly true. Philippians 2:9 says this, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why am I putting those two together? Because this is what I believe. When we get born again, according to the scripture, our spirits, okay, we have the same spirit as Jesus. We are connected, identical. I've taught you that. Okay, that being said, we are carriers. And Jesus, was he not a carrier of life? Everywhere he went, he changed situations. And we are supposed to be able to do what he did. And he said even greater things. So in the body of Christ, sometimes we get our own little things like, okay, I need, and it's okay to have questions. And I think that's okay. But let the Spirit and let the Word answer your questions. Kim and I were talking today because I got to speak at Faith Life's church just a couple weeks back, or a week back, something like that. And their topic was polarized. That's what they wanted me to speak on. So I looked up polarized, and it's basically stuff at opposite ends of the spectrum, just like Democrats and Republicans. And so they had talked politically about that. I brought some jumper cables up there and talked to them about, you know, if something's live and you attach it to something that's not alive, that power going from the live thing goes into the thing that's not alive, and that cable acts as a conduit and puts those things to life that were not alive before. We, as believers of Jesus and followers of Jesus, should be doing the things that he did. And I'm guilty of this as anybody. So I'm just saying, I want to up my life more, where I am walking, and if I'm in the store and the Lord prompts me and says, go pray for that person. You see them limping? Go pray for them. Wouldn't it be cool just to walk over and say, hey, you don't have to limp anymore. Can I pray for you? And pray for them, and they get healed, and you just look at them and smile and said, God loves you, and go get your Fritos and do whatever you're doing. But, I mean, just to be those kind of lights and that, to see those things. So here's some of the questions we have. Well, should we pray for someone? The Bible specifically says you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But there's also questions about who's laying hands on you. So you have to be aware of who, because we've had people come to church that guised themselves or disguised as a believer, and yet they were a witch, and they wanted to pray over the kids and lay hands on them, and I would not allow it because I don't know them. And found out later, and I was like, thank you, God, because I had this big abrupt no in my spirit, like, no. And that was in Pickerington, actually. We have to understand it is biblical to lay hands on people, but you need to know what's going on when that happens. I don't want to lay empty hands on people. Does that make sense? If I'm going to lay hands on someone, according to Mark, I have to believe whatever I'm praying for is going to happen. That's what we read in Mark 11:23-24. If I believe, I can speak to that mountain. So if I'm believing that and I'm going to lay hands, so if I'm praying for somebody that's sick, and that's the problem we've had in the church today, we don't believe we're going to see anything. We're just doing the motions because it's church. I don't want to do the motions. I want to do the results. If I'm praying for you tonight, I have every fiber in my body that believes that whatever we're praying is done. I don't want to just lay hands, and I don't want you to do it either. I want you to be able to be a carrier of Jesus. That's what you are. Don't go around and just say, can I pray for you? You can pray for them, but is the Lord telling you to pray? Like, this is my wife. She asked me to pray for her today, and I wanted to pray for her, but I felt like the Lord said, just wait. And so I said, I don't want to pray for you just yet, but I will here pretty soon. Her response to me was, okay. Which, that was good. You know, I don't want a bad response, but that was good. And so I was, you know, when it was time, I felt like I went in and I prayed for her for what she was needing. But the purpose is, listen, you have to get things in line, understanding that your faith, if you're going to pray and lay hands, you got to mean business. You got to know that this isn't just a game. This isn't just something that we do. This is something that is. If I'm told to anoint with oil, I'll anoint with oil. If I don't have any oil, I mean, we've taken communion with just water. If Jesus can turn water into wine, you know, we're good. I've used Mountain Dew too. I know you're like, really? I mean, because it's not, the elements represent something bigger. That's what this is about. You represent something bigger. That's what this is about. We are epistles. We are lights. We are supposed to shine the light because that's what we do. Miracles are just the natural thing in heaven. On earth, they're not. But in heaven, it's just like, hey, of course, because that's just what's expected. If we're going to bring heaven to earth, we have to start doing what's expected. Not from man, but what God is like, go do that. Do you understand? If God tells you to go do something, it's just you have every ability to do what he tells you. And your physical mind will fight you on that. But if God said, go do it, give this, go do that, pray for them, whatever it is. I like knowing that the name of Jesus, that second scripture that I read in Philippians, that says every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. Brett, why are you telling me that? I'll tell you why I'm telling you that is because everything that we deal with, everything that comes against you, every mountain that you face, everything that is in your face trying to stop you from following God has a name. And that name has to bow. And you might say, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly. I just have a soreness here. Then speak to the soreness. Are you with me? Speak to whatever that is. And if the Holy Spirit makes it more specific, say it specifically. But here's the thing. You might not even have to say the name. I was telling PK on the way here, I said, people just tried to get around Peter, hoping his shadow would just touch him. And it was healing people. Nobody said anything. Jesus never even had to, the soldier that he said, hey, I got a guy that's sick. Jesus never had to go touch him. He just said, go, he'll be well. The woman that grabbed his garment, she declared her faith. Jesus didn't even know what was going on until he felt power leave him. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus, and you need to use it when God says, just say the name. I mean, I've seen things happen. I've seen things where I'm like, okay. And I know that there's some stuff that needs to come out of, let's just say, this person. And I don't know what it is. But I know every time I get near them, they start shaking. And I'm like, God, they need free. And God would just tell me the name. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. But whether I could speak specifically to that or he would just, listen to what I'm going to say, or I will just use his name. Because there's no name greater than that. It really doesn't matter if he's called whatever he wants to call himself. I have the name. So that name is above every other name. Do you understand? We don't take that like literally, but it is literal. It is exactly above everything. Anything that comes against you, Jesus is above that. It has a name, he's above that. If you don't know the name, you still have his name. If you don't have, I mean, what I'm saying is there's people that get all caught up on, did I say the right thing? I don't know if I said the right thing. Are you trying to convince us or you? Or you have to get settled in who you are in Christ and your union with him. That's what you have to settle. Once that's no question, there isn't an issue. You're not being tossed around like that. I know who I am. Do you need to put up with it or don't you? If it's not from God, you don't have to put up with it because you have the name. You have the identity that goes with the name. You have the power that comes with the identity. You have the anointing that comes with the power and the identity. Because he's in you. The raising the power from the dead is in you. And when we understand that, nothing can stand in your way. So you have to, number one, you have to believe in the name. I do believe there's nothing greater than the name of Jesus. 1 John 3:23, in his commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another and as he gave us the commandment. We believed on that when we called on the Lord and we got saved, we asked for the name. We called on the name. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. But past that, we almost think like, we should be carriers of the light. I'm just saying, if we all start being the spiritual leaders that we are called to be, this place would be packed. And it will be. I mean, there's already more people here now, and plus the kids are back there just having all kinds of fun. But what I'm saying is when things start happening that man cannot do, but Jesus has already done, and we do those, there's nothing else they can say but, oh, I got healed. How? Jesus. Can you imagine the man walking and leaping, the lame man? What happened?
Well,
here's a story. I mean, nobody can deny that I've seen him for years and he was, and now. Or she's dead. No, she's not dead. She's asleep. Now give her something to eat. And she's alive now. It's going to shut a lot of people's mouths. Believe in the name. Speak to the things in the name. If you're having a struggle, then in the name of Jesus. I mean, I remember telling a guy that came into youth in Dayton, and he was possessed, and he was having fits and contorting and screaming and just came right into the service. There's like 50 students in there. And the students started screaming and they ran to this side of the room and all my helpers went right with them. And I was just left there by myself. So I just turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, sit down and shut up. And he just, boom, plopped himself in a chair and was going, and he just stayed there. And in about 10 or 15 minutes, we prayed over him, and he walked out in his right mind and was totally fine. I don't know how totally fine, but, you know, he wasn't doing that. But, you know, he said he felt something wanted him to come in there, and it wasn't the enemy, and he was fought the whole way in, and the story goes on. So, I mean, there's sometimes you don't have time to do a lot of things, but because you are in the family of God, that name carries weight. You ever think that Jesus, remember the when he'd get close, the demons would say, you know, what are you going to do to us? And they would call him. He didn't go and say, look who I am. They just knew. You have that same power. You have that same authority. And the problem with us is we've been taught we don't. We are not Jesus, so please don't misunderstand. We are not him, but we are his kids. Adopted, grafted into the family of God, given that spirit, identical likeness. That's living by faith. Lord, who do I want? Who do you want me to touch today? What do you want me to do? I mean, sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense. Kim and I have had all kinds of experiences through our life that have just, she'll say something, it doesn't make sense to me. I'll say something, might not make sense to her. But then we find out later, it was totally God doing something. She bought things. I've told you that story. She bought a big chandelier. I'm like, we don't need a chandelier. She goes, I know it. I just felt I was supposed to buy it. Well, why? It just sat in our basement for a month or something. I don't know, maybe more. I'm like, and every time I go buy that stupid chandelier, I would be like, I don't even get it. You know, but she said, and so this is what I had to do. Now listen, and again, I'm telling you my faults so that maybe you don't make the same ones. I had to learn to trust her. That she heard from God, because it's not like I'm the only one that hears from God. She can't hear. You know what I'm saying? So I had to be like, okay, well, there's going to be somebody. And do you know that somebody ended up needing a chandelier, the exact model that she bought? And of course it came back to, she's like, I know who needs a chandelier, and it's this one. And so we were able to just bless them. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Walking with Jesus. I think about those guys on the road to Emmaus. They're walking with him. They didn't even know it was him. And he's talking with them. I want to be like, duh. Did you not? I mean, and then they didn't know it was him. The Bible says until he broke bread and stuff and they were going to eat. And then they're like, and then he was gone. And they're like, ah, didn't our hearts burn within us when he was talking? Like, hey, Spanky, it should have been burning long before that. But anyways, I mean, maybe I'd have did the same thing. I don't know, but it just seems like, wow. You have that same thing. That's why God created you. Fellowship. You could worship him. He restored what Adam had lost. That's why Jesus came, the second Adam. So all that could be restored. You know, would Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit, all three in one. Could you imagine walking with them in the cool of the day? That's pretty sweet. You can have a life with Jesus. But there are things that we come up against, especially in these times, that have names. Sickness has a name. Even if that's all you want to say, sickness, infirmity, cancer, poverty, arthritis, diabetes. Might sound crazy to you, but all of those have to bow to the name of Jesus. And we talk all the time, whether we realize it or not. Do you know you talk to yourself? I don't have the stats on how much we talk to. I talk to myself. Do you talk to yourself? I do. I can carry on a whole conversation with me. Do you ever talk at stoplights as you're going through? Oh, come on! Or, man, I'm hitting every light. Yeah. You know, or whatever. Or, boy, this is a long light. Or how about this one? Do these people not know you can go left on a red light from a one-way to another one-way? They don't know that, do they? And you want to go out and tell them, see? And so my wife gets to hear all of those. Maybe you ladies speak to your washing machines. If they're not working right. Oh. Or whatever. Or guys, we talk to our cars. Turn the radio up. Sounds fine. That was a joke. Thanks. We don't really think that's unusual to talk to ourselves or see somebody out on the road and they're upset and they're kicking their tire or something. We like, okay, they've got a flat tire, something went wrong, or their hood's up and they're, you know. But we think it's weird if we would try to put any spiritual emphasis on anything that we're talking about. I like the fact that Jesus did things, he did it and he showed people. Went to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Jesus healed her and then she got up and waited on them all. Which, you know, I don't know if that was his plan, but, you know, but still the fact, well, I said all that to say Peter watched him do it. So he observed, like, that happened like that. She doesn't feel well. Oh, I guess she's better. So he shows that way. Jesus just, do you know, nobody ever, Jesus didn't not heal. If anybody ever went to Jesus, he healed everyone that went to him. There's no record of him going, not today. I'm not going to do that. Or, you know, he healed everyone. We need to talk to Jesus. We need to understand that we have the name, we can use the name, and the last one is we can see the power of the name, just like Peter did. Because there's no other name above that name. That name is what sat that guy down in that chair. The power that I was wielding was not my power. but the Lord's power. That was the jumper cable. Because if you're on a mission, God always provides whatever you need. After that event, the students were like, that was so awesome. That was so amazing. I was freaking out. And there was guys. I wasn't freaking out. And the girls are like, how come you're over there on the table? And, so they talked and it was fun. But I'm telling you, the next week, there was probably like 20 more students there because stuff started happening. Peter saw his mother-in-law get healed, and then in Acts 3, he prays for a lame man, and that's the guy that goes walking and leaping and praising God. He saw it firsthand. If Jesus can do it, and Jesus said, I can do it, and Jesus wants me to do it, going back to Mark 11:23, I'm going to speak to the mountain. It's going to move. I'm not going to lay empty hands on this person. My hands are going to be full of faith because I have the measure, not a measure, but the measure, and I have the anointing. I am told to do it. Do you understand that? It is a commission. This whole play in church thing is just something man created. Our commission is to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Go into the world, into the highways and the byways. Set the captive free. That's our mission. And we're not doing it. Not to the way we should. Peter tells him in Acts, he says, faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. So Peter is saying, it's not me, it's the jumper cable, basically. It's not because I'm a pastor or he was an apostle. This is about every regular Joe and Jane that follows Jesus has the same power if we want to exercise it. Whatever it is you're facing, his name is above it. It's above. The stories that we have, people have told us, those are just crazy. Those are awesome. And they are awesome. But there's more to come. There's more stories that we're going to experience. And I mean, we got grandbabies and stuff. And you know what? We're going to do our best to show them not just the name of God, but how God, the power of God. Because I want them to see it. I got to tell a story and then I'll pray for anybody that wants prayer. My kids have known for a long time that if we pray for people, we believe and God heals them. They've seen it. They've seen it happen. And there's times, I mean, we've all experienced times we prayed and we didn't see anything. And people have asked me, well, if you don't see it, what goes through your mind? I'll just tell you what goes through my mind. I don't have to see it. To me, it's already done. I'm ready to go to the next person because as far as I'm concerned, you're healed. And we've seen people get healed later, that night, that next day, within 3 days, whatever, or instantly. And we've all had things our own selves where we've prayed and, so then we have to ask ourselves, okay, why is this not happening? Well, obviously there's unbelief at work somewhere. So we have to face that. We have to get onto that. It could be just something that is, it could be timing, I guess. There could be some things with that. But basically, we were talking about this earlier. If we get our mind more on the problem than the promise, it's easy to get off course. Does that make a little bit of sense? In other words, if all we think about, and this is what she related to me with, just for me, in 2020, I had that heart attack. And so she had asked me, was that 2020? Yeah. Okay, so I'm 4 years past it. She said, do you fight that every day? And I told her, I said, I don't know how to answer that, because I want to be cautious of how I say what I'm going to say, you know. And but does the enemy stop? He's relentless. He's stupid. But I mean, but he's going to try. But the thing is, sometimes many times I don't hear him. Let's just, if you can picture me inside a sound booth that's sound tight. In that booth, when I'm in that booth and I am in the zone, my mind is fixed on Jesus. My mind is fixed on his promise. My mind is fixed on divine health and my health. And he's on the outside of that pounding and screaming. I can't hear him. He's still trying to make noise. I can't hear him. Then he usually gets tired and he goes away for a while. But if I let circumstances in my natural self, my emotions, my five senses start ruling, somebody's cracked the door I have in the sound booth. And then I can hear a little bit of the taunts or the things. And the more that I allow that to be heard, the wider the crack goes. So I have to decide to keep that shut. So to answer a question, it just depends on, I would say maybe he tries every day. I don't know if he tries every day. There are times that, you know, I feel this or that, and I have to take authority over whatever I feel is going on, and I'll speak to what I feel is going on. You know, sometimes I'll feel like my heart was just racing, or I can't catch my breath. And so specifically, I'll do just what I'm teaching you tonight. Breath, in the name of Jesus, you relax. Lungs, you are fine. Heart, you beat normal in Jesus' name. Why am I saying? Because it has a name, and it is not above the name of Jesus. Now, if he didn't tell me to say his name or anything like that, then I don't know that I would have to, because he dwells in me. But if I feel prompted to say it, I'm going to say it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, Romans 10:17. And even if it's not for my benefit, I want the devil to hear it, because he can't do anything with that name. And that's usually what sends him into torment, is that name. So to answer your question, we all have battles. But we can choose how we fight, how we yield, not to the enemy, but to God, because that's like John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. So when PK was telling me the other day, she goes, never in my life have I been more engulfed and saturated in the word than she has been in these last couple, 3 years. And I can testify to that. She is a walking Bible. But she's very strong. And she's got herself that way because of the united spirit. And so she has put teaching in there that she knows is right with the word of God, so she stays strong. So when the enemy comes, that's how you fight it, with the word. And going back to Mark 11:23, and that's where I'm going to end this, because when we say to the mountain, and if you're saying everything that you believe and it's according to Scripture, it has no choice. It really doesn't have a choice, because as far as you're concerned, it's over, it's done. I'm speaking to that mountain and moving on. And that's kind of how I do with what if I've had to deal with my heart. I just started doing that because when I ended up 4 years ago having that, I was doing yard work. So the lady next to us had said, she's getting mad, well, not mad, but frustrated because I kept my yard like really mowed all the time. And she's like, he's out mowing again. She goes, you mow a lot. Well, I mean, I didn't mow unless it needed mowed, but I didn't let it grow. And so I told them the reason. I said, here's the reason. Because, you know, the enemy was fighting me saying, you're going to die mowing. You can't this, you can't that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, oh, no, it's on. I'm going to mow this yard, and I'm going to live a long, fruitful, healthy life in Jesus' name. And I just speak to my heart. And I'd get the mower, I'd be out there, and she knew enough. She's like, I'm not stopping him. You go. I mean, they might as well just pump Rocky music in my head. It's because that's all. I'm just, okay, I'm going to go do whatever I got to do. Use the name of Jesus. You carry it. He's in you. Your spirit is there. Use his name. Watch the power. If you believe everything that he said you can do. That name is the most valuable thing. You know, it's just awesome because the enemy hates Jesus. Amen? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and then, Father, in Jesus'